Raider Nation, welcome to another episode of Down with the Ship. I am your host, Maddie Mayhem, and with me is my co-host, Sean Carnage.
Yo, yo, yo.
And for today's episode, we have two special guests. We've brought back Anarchy Marky, who was, by popular demand, asked for. That's and, good. Of course, we've got our second special guest for Down with the Ship, and that is Vato Vince. Say what's up, Vince.
Yo, yo, yo.
And we want to apologize. You know, it's been a minute since our last episode. We were trying to be more consistent, and I promise you, Raider Nation, we had a whole entire episode recorded last week, and it was a good one, too.
It was a damn good one.
We worked hard on that.
We talked about the entire defense. We talked a little bit more about the Josh Jacobs situation and the uncertainty behind that. We talked about special teams, and we lost it all. Didn't record one damn thing. And so that is why we have taken so long. It's very discouraging to record an entire episode.
You Especially know when training camp started right after. It was like the day after we cut that episode, and the week after training camp started. And, you know, and so we're going to catch up today, though. We're going to catch up.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of like writing an essay, and then before printing it out, having the essay just get deleted, and you're just like, oh, I don't even want to write them.
Save again. Often.
Yeah, you just don't even care. So that's the issue. Hopefully this one doesn't do the same thing. Yeah, so we are right in the thick of things for the season. The training camp is about a week in, and you know, we're recording this on Saturday, August 5th. And so we have seen exactly 1 week of training camp, a few days of pads. Yep. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about. Of course, we are going to go over the defense, although in a more abridged version than we did last week, because again, the things have changed. You know, we found out a little bit more information. And so, you know, maybe it's for the best that we weren't able to get that last episode in. We'll start by starting with quick hits from the week. So Sean, what have you heard this week? What do we got to talk about as far as Raiders and Raider news?
A big one that caught my attention for all the car stands, and I don't know, you might call me one, but it's kind of like rubbed me the wrong way. Q Myers, you know, from Locked On Raiders podcast, Raiders Radio, Sports Center, all that, one of my favorites, but he reported that his sources had mentioned when Carr and Gruden were here together in Vegas that, like, there was kind of like a no interception clause that the defense had to, like, follow because it hurt, like, Carr's feelings or something, you know, or like his confidence level would go down. A big problem with the Raiders defense, you know, that season was just not being able to come up with those picks. You know, like, it's been a long time since this defense has been able to turn over the ball. And you know what? If you're not able to practice it, then how are you expected to do it in the game? And that just really, really rubbed me the wrong way. What do you guys think about that?
Well, that's a good point. Like, first, let me clarify for anybody that doesn't know. I guess the Saints brought in John Gruden this past week as a special guest. He's not on the team, but of course he shows up in his Saints gear, you know, because he and Derek Carr are besties, apparently. And he shows up and was watching practices, and he kind of shared that nugget about how, you know, he told the defense, you know, not to pick off Derek Carr because he didn't want to hurt Carr's confidence. And it's like, I mean, what does that tell you? I mean, what does that tell you about Carr? I mean,
sensitive?
Yeah, a whole lot. I mean, it really goes to show that's how it went down, because look at, like, we never get interceptions, man. Like, never. It
seems they have? They had, like, what, six last year?
Yeah, but six is, like, bottom three.
Yeah, it was, like,
that's just surprising to us to get that much, because we never usually get any interceptions. We're not really known for that.
Yeah, it's really bad, but that raises a good point. Like, if you're telling your defense, hey, get in the habit of not picking off our quarterback because he's, you know, soft as a pillow, then whatever you do in practice, you're going to do in the game. Like, that's what practice is for. So if you were practicing not to hurt the feelings of your quarterback, I mean, and I'm sorry, dude, like, could you imagine Tom Brady or Brett Favre or let's not even talk about current football players. Can you talk about past Raiders? Like, do you think Rich Gannon would have had his feelings hurt? Do you think that Ken Stabler would have had his feelings hurt? It's ridiculous, dude. Well, and if that's true, good riddance. You know, but I mean, everybody already knows that I'm not a big, huge Carr fan. So, you know, none of this comes as a surprise, but it does explain a lot.
I like to go back and watch some tape and see how many almost interceptions the Raiders defense have got. And then you start to think maybe those could have been actual picks if they would have been able to practice it. And then how those games that we lost to, you know, closely could have maybe gone the other way, you know, strictly Absolutely. On this idea. It's terrible.
They had a lot of drop picks. Yep. They had a lot of drop picks where it was right in their hands and they dropped it.
Well, you know, you're hearing a lot out of camp this week, especially that the defense has just been taking the ball away. I mean, interception after interception after interception. And honestly, I've always heard that the defense is supposed to have the disadvantage, you know, because the offense, like, knows that defense and knows their tendency so they can attack them. So if your defense is doing really well and the offense is doing poorly, that doesn't speak well of your offense at all. But the good thing is, if our defense is, like, getting all those, you know, interceptions, then that's good because it's creating the habit of getting getting interceptions. So maybe we'll get a lot this year. Who knows?
Yeah. The other part of that is it on Garoppolo, you know, turning it over right now? And I know it's early. Garoppolo, that's why I'm glad he was here for the start of training camp, because he needed to get that repetition and that experience in with each receiver and develop that chemistry. And maybe that's what he's doing now, and that's why you're not seeing, you know, it there quite just yet. But I am excited, because the defense is the biggest problem that we had, you know, in the past few years. And if we're starting to turn things around, you know, and it looks like we're getting a little competitive back there, I'm excited.
Well, I will give you 2 points that I think will set Raider Nation's mind a little bit at ease. The first one is, the reason why Jimmy Garoppolo is so rusty is because he hasn't thrown since he got injured in, what, week 12 of last year? So a lot of quarterbacks will just throw all off season. You know, in the summertime, they'll go train. He hasn't done anything. He's finally gotten action, and so, of course, he's going to be not as sharp as he would be had he had months and months of training. So that's the first thing. Of course, he's going to throw interceptions. But the second thing is, I was listening to Q on the radio, and he was interviewing Paul Gutierrez, who was a Raiders beat writer, and he mentioned the defense getting all those interceptions and whether or not we should, you know, Raider Nation should be worried about the offense. And Paul Gutierrez said he felt like, and keep in mind, he was there watching, but he said he felt like the Raiders as an organization made the decision to pull their better receivers like Devontae and Jacoby Myers and Hunter Renfrow, and the people that were getting beat and picked off were more of their secondary receivers, you know, not really any of their starters, you know, your DeAndre Carters and the guys like that, you know.
Aaron Myers is killing it.
Well, and that's the thing. They were basically saying that besides this past week, Jacoby Myers, Devontae Adams, and Hunter Renfrow, nobody can cover them. Like, they are just completely open. They're killing it out there. And so just because all his interceptions happened today, Paul Gutierrez believed that the Raiders were just trying to boost the confidence of the defense by having, you know, the more inferior receivers go out there.
Well, isn't that kind of the same thing as far as trying to boost Carr's confidence and having the defense kind of be like, meh? I mean, is that serving us a disadvantage or not?
But you know what, though? If you're the secondary players on a team, you still have to perform.
I mean, I think it's good to develop that depth, though, you know? I mean, to at least give them the reps to be able to, you know, maybe one day step it up. But definitely need that depth just in case, you know, Renfrow goes down again, God forbid. And that shit sucked last season.
Well, and since we're talking about the defense, you know, what about Ja'Corian Bennett? I've been hearing a lot of good things out of him. Of course, we drafted him this year. He's a cornerback. And Marcus Peters was, you know, he was just interviewed today, actually. And he was talking about Ja'Corian Bennett's just been by his side the whole camp. You know, he's just constantly asking him questions. And I love, you know, they call Marcus Peters the OG, you know, and he's like, I'm the OG now, you know. And before, you know, when he was just getting into the league, it was like Eric Berry over there in Kansas City or something. And that's what I wanted him for, you know what I mean? Maybe he lost a step or two, but he knows how to be good in this league, and he knows how to play at a high level, and he's able to show these guys how to prepare themselves as professionals. And Ja'Corian Bennett, he's a guy that wants to learn. And you could tell he's just asking him questions, and they're asking questions. He's like, hey, I don't know it. We're going to figure it out together, and we're going to find out how to make each other better. And iron sharpens iron. And I'm just loving what I'm hearing about Ja'Corian Bennett.
Oh, yeah. Ja'Corian Bennett is definitely somebody that we should be excited about. And he'll help us forget about the fact that our number one draft pick this year, Tyree Wilson, is nowhere to be seen in training camp. It's like, why are you going to draft a guy that's going to start training camp? Like, that first month of training camp is vital to their understanding of the defense and what the Raiders are trying to do. If Tyree Wilson's not there, what good does that do? Like, that's neither here nor there. We're talking about Ja'Corian Bennett. They're saying that Ja'Corian Bennett is doing so well. Like, he's basically forcing himself into the discussion about starting this year.
We
got him in, what, the fifth round or fourth round, something like that. I think it was the fourth round. You draft a guy like that in the middle rounds and you get a starter out of that's great drafting. And plus, you know, I've watched film on him, Tape Don't Lie, guys. You cannot beat Ja'Corian Bennett. He is so fast. I think he ran a 4.25 or a 4.340. He's so fast that even when he gets beat, he still gets the ball. Like, he still runs to the guy, catches up with the guy, and knocks the ball away. That's how fast he is.
He's a bigger dude, too, isn't he?
He's you know, your cornerbacks are going to be anywhere between 5'10 and 6'1. So, I mean, they're all about the same size.
I think he's at least 6, right?
Maybe.
Well, I mean, you got to beat Robertson.
Yeah.
He only gave up, what, like 4-5 touchdowns average or something in his whole career.
Yeah, he was
in college.
He was killing it, man. He killed it. He went to Maryland, I think.
I'm loving the idea of him on the outside opposite Marcus Peters with freaking Nate Hobbs in the slot.
Yeah.
Like, if those three hold their thing down, oh man, it's going to make it a lot easier on like the safeties and the linebackers, you know, which linebackers, I don't know, I'm hearing good things about them too. Like the defense seems to be shining.
I mean, honestly, that's what you want to hear. I mean, they should be shining. I mean, this is the second year in the exact same system. You're always better in the second year of your system because you know the plays, you know what the coach wants, you understand everything. And yeah. So you're not thinking, you're reacting. You just
play ball.
Yeah, you're just playing ball. And so, you know, that is definitely a huge plus for this team. You know, the team itself is super young. That's another thing we got to remember. That means they're just going to get better. Who's the oldest guy on the defense?
Is it going to be Marcus Peters?
It's going to be Marcus Peters, right?
Yeah, OG.
Yeah, the OG. Like, yeah. He's the leader of the defense. Actually, Max Crosby's the leader of the defense.
Yeah, actually, he's the leader of the team.
He's the leader of the team.
I love that dynamic, having Max Crosby and Marcus Peters there just being the dogs that they are. And they are dogs. That's awesome. You got these young guys, having those guys in the locker room. They're going to be learning how to play like a professional.
Well, dude, and the other thing that I thought was interesting, you saw the NFL Top 100. You see that Crosby and Jacobs and Devontae? Yeah. We're top 20. All three of them top 20. Yeah. So you can't say the Raiders don't have talent.
I think they should be higher.
Did they do top 5 yet or 10? I thought Max at least should have been like a lot.
They should have been higher, yeah.
Top 10 at least. But it's still cool. It shows you I heard something actually today. I believe it was on Locked On Raiders, but they were saying, you know, when you have three players that are in like the top 20, like we're not a rebuilding team because of that, but we kind of are in rebuild mode, you know, and you can't just like tank because you have these star players, but at the same time, you still need to grow these young guys. So I feel like we're kind of in that little, like that little middle space of being a rebuilding team and like a team that's ready to compete. And I'm starting to it's starting to seem like that's the way this season is going to be, is another growing type season. I don't know if I'm expecting playoffs, but I mean, if everything comes together, maybe there's always a chance. But
17-0.
Yeah, let's go.
17-0.
Hey, man, I just want them to win each week, like one week at a time, right? So who they got first? Denver. So I just want to be Denver. That's all I care about.
I heard Sean Payton is going to be playing starters in the first preseason game.
Probably. I mean, that's the thing. They all have to learn his system.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, it's great that the Raiders have him that first year because the Raiders know their system, offense and defense. You know what I mean? That is the advantage of keeping the same head coach, same defensive coordinator.
Well, Broncos haven't beaten them in, what, 3 years?
I know, but Sean Payton's actually a competent coach, dude. Old Nate Hackett over there, dude. Freaking buddy Hackett.
And well, since somebody brought up Wilson, though, is it time to panic? You know, he's not out there yet. I would have expected him. And Byron, Byron Young?
Yep.
Byron Young is not out there either. You know, our defense is cooking. Everybody's building a chemistry. Those guys are not there. You know, and if you're part of that line particularly, you have to learn how to play with everybody. So you're missing out.
You are. And honestly, neither one of those guys is going to be much of a factor until about halfway through the season. But honestly, like, neither one of those guys was going to start. So it almost doesn't matter.
Do you think, though, that Josh McDaniels and Dave Ziegler, are they going to catch some heat first round drafting a guy that's not ready for the beginning of the season? Like, come on. You know, you're going to catch some heat on that.
In my opinion, and this is, you know, my impressions based upon what the beat writers are basically saying, but they're all saying, like, without coming out and saying it, Mark Davis is basically giving these guys time. So they probably said, hey, we're not going to be good this year. We're going to build. So we're going to draft these dudes that are going to be awesome next year, and we'll let them sit. So, like, you wait. Next year, Tyree Wilson's going to be a badass, but he ain't going to do much this year.
Well, like you said, year two in the system, you know, and this is their first year. And if as long as last year's rookies make a step forward this year, you're going to see the right progression, you know. But, I mean, I don't know. I'm starting to come to realization kind of with the way I'm thinking the season might come out. If we did a wins-loss prediction again, it might have gone down a little bit from last time we did it.
Yeah. 17-0. 17-0.
I mean,
Super Bowl one in Vegas at home.
Lock it in.
Absolutely.
What was the bet that you mentioned, Mark?
It's freaking the $20,000 bet, dude, for the Raiders to win it all.
Someone put in a $20,000 bet, and what was the takeout? On a win?
$800,000.
$20,000 for $800,000.
Shit. That guy's got a lot of faith in the Raider Nation.
I'll put $100 on it.
Hey, was it Ice Cube, dude, that did that?
Who's got the dough?
Yeah. Jesus.
Who's betting $80,000 on the Raiders?
I saw on a side note the Nate Diaz and whatever boxing fights today, and was it Drake put like $20,000 on Diaz?
Drake always be dropping shit. Like, there's the Drake curse for a minute. You know, if you bet on your team, they're gonna lose.
Must be nice to have that kind of dough, you know, like whatever, man.
No, but I agree definitely. I mean, I get the same kind of impression that I mean, it's the new system. It's going to be another grow year. We're still in the rebuild. And that shit shouldn't have happened, but once we got freaking McDaniels, it was a rebuild, right? Yep. So right there from the get-go.
And he's got his quarterback now, too.
Yeah, so no excuse. Actually, he does have an excuse, because he could be like, well, I don't have my...
He took all of his guys.
Well, yeah, but he's like, I don't have my guy. Like, well, I guess Jimmy's his guy.
I think that's his guy.
You think?
That's his guy right now.
I feel like he can just say, oh, Jimmy's a bridge quarterback.
Well, like, I think that's what he is, but right now, that's the guy that knows the system. And, you know, just hearing how the camp battles are going, they got... Garoppolo on a pitch count, you know, and there was a practice where he was in for a little bit and he was gone, and they had Hoyer lead the way. And you know what, honestly, I'm thinking, like, because I wanted Aiden O'Connell to be that guy, but this McDaniel system is complicated enough to where I think I'd rather have Hoyer. If, like, we're in the season and Garoppolo goes down, I'd rather have Hoyer take command, old man Hoyer take command of that offense, because at least he's going to know how to run the plays. You know, if you put in O'Connell, you're going to have a smaller playbook, and you're going to be at a disadvantage. So, I mean, just on that QB battle, I actually think it's going to be Hoyer as the number two.
I like O'Connell.
I like O'Connell. I like him too.
I watched him in the combine, dude. He looks good. Yep. He could be good.
But I haven't heard super spectacular yet.
I've heard he's throwing touchdowns and he's throwing interceptions. I mean, he's a third string quarterback. What do you expect?
Well, that's what he's playing accurate. Like at this point.
Yeah.
I'm looking at Hoyer O'Connell battle right now. You know, because we already know Garoppolo's number one.
Well,
so there's
going to
be a number two battle. You know, and
they did bring back Garbers.
They brought back Garbers.
Garbers is never going to do.
He's on the practice squad though. No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's their fourth string.
Still
for sure.
Out there though.
Well, stay on the defense. You know, I'm excited I'm really excited about our cornerback room right now, but. I mean, let's talk about Max Crosby. I know it kind of goes without saying, but I love the fact that he practices like he plays a game. You know, his motor is 100%. I think it's contagious. And how about him giving it to Michael Mayer, you know, first day of pads? You guys heard about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he basically smashed him into the ground a few times. He stepped over him. Like, you know, he basically was showing the youngster, like, hey, welcome to the NFL. You know what I mean? And that's what you want, though.
You want
Michael Mayer. And I heard Michael Mayer kept getting up.
That's all you can ask.
It's like that scene from, have you ever seen Cool Hand Luke?
Yes.
Remember that dude keeps, like, basically knocking him down, dude, and he just keeps getting up until he just can't barely even walk. Like, it's that same thing, man.
You don't want him soft, like, no interceptions.
Yeah. No, I don't think Michael Mayer is soft at all.
I love the fact that they did that. I don't know if that was just Max doing it or if the coaches told Max they'd give it to him, but the fact that Michael Mayer kept getting up, like, I mean, we already know he's a great pass catcher, you know, and it sounds like he needs a little work on the blocking, but he's good. But you know what? Max Crosby's only going to make him better.
Yeah.
Anybody going against Max Crosby, you're only going to get better doing it. Same for Adams, you know?
Yeah, I would say that you probably, as a Raider fan, if you're going to buy anybody's jersey, you're probably safe buying Max Crosby jersey.
Don't even say it, dude. I'm out. I'm out on the new jersey. Vince has been telling me, Vince has been telling me a long time, he's like, don't get the new jerseys. Matt has even told me this before, you know, but we always want to root for these guys, but... I got a closet. Matter of fact, if anybody wants any old jerseys, I got a closet full of them. You guys can have them.
I know.
I'm trying to find a bum on the street.
Classic player, because they're there, and you know they were there, and they're never going anywhere.
I took my Derek Carr jersey to the thrift store, and I just gave it away.
I'm trying to get an O'Connell patch so I could put it over Carr's name. And then I got my Aiden O'Connell jersey.
No, I got a Max Crosby jersey. That's my favorite one to wear, you know. They have
you got them, right,
Mike? I got Crosby, I got Adams.
Yeah, and you gotta have Devontae. I mean, he's like, do you buy a Peters one? Because he's probably gonna retire a Raider.
Hey, I love that Devontae. Like, who said, like, he's gonna go to the Jets? And he came out and actually in an interview was like, I'm gonna retire a Raider.
Yeah,
that is awesome. You know, especially seeing Carr leave, like Adams with that attitude, like his head is here. He wants to win here, and that's why if it is a rebuild, it's got to happen fast. But, like, Devontae's going to retire a Raider, a reason to get his jersey.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, having Devontae is like having Tim Brown. You know, one of the best wide receivers in football. And you almost take it for granted because you realize, oh, you know, we got a number one guy. Like, and he's just as good, if not better, than anybody else's number one guy.
I think the best part is he's making everybody better. Like, the cornerbacks are getting better having to guard him. Even Marcus Peters is going to get better going against Devontae.
Well, and I heard that they all kind of get hyped. you know, to go up against Devontae every day, you know, because the guy is ridiculous. His get offs, his route running, he is. We're watching a Hall of Famer in action, dude, and he's playing where he wants to play, and that's with the silver and black.
Man, I seen those top 10 receivers on I don't know what list. I don't know if it was anything like worth mentioning or if it was just Madden game, but he was a lot lower than I thought.
He should be number one on all those lists.
Jefferson was
at
top with Tyreek, and I'm like, dude, he's got to be top three.
Dude, you see Devontae was ranked like number like 11 or something like that.
It's disrespectful. It's because he's a Raider.
It's because he's a Raider, dude. If Devontae was on any other team, like if Devontae was on Green Bay still, if Devontae was on the Vikings or the Bills, Devontae would be like top three.
Yeah. He's number one in the league. Yeah. Easy. And then they just keep doubting him. He's number one in the league and they're just haters.
Yeah, but you know what, dude? They said last year, oh, he won't be the same without Aaron. And what does he do? He sets career best, dude. So it's like, he don't need no Aaron Rodgers, dude. Aaron Rodgers needs him. That's why he had to
So
he had to build dynasty around him in New York, dude. Yeah. He had to get all the receivers to make up for Devontae.
On a side of Aaron Rodgers note, like fantasy football, Garrett Wilson. You guys, look, Garrett Wilson, don't sleep on him.
Garrett Wilson, but I mean, like, how many other weapons does he have there, though?
Rodgers complained about his weapons in Green Bay, and then he goes and brings all the guys with him.
I know. Jordan Love's looking around going, hey, what? What'd you leave me with?
Yeah, he definitely stole them all. Yeah. It was highway robbery.
He just brought them all with him. My receivers suck, but I'm going to bring them with me to the new team.
So he's got Wilson and Lazard. I think those are good 1 and 2s right there. Like,
right?
Really
he took Cobb with them.
Those Jets aren't messing around. Yeah. They're not messing around.
Hey, but did you hear about...
But they lost the Hall of Fame game for what it is.
The hubbub with Sean Payton basically like talking smack on old Nate Hackett.
Oh, yeah, yep. Dude.
Yeah.
Right, basically saying that he's just not a coach and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And so they're like, we'll see him. Because Hackett's over there in New York, too. He's their offensive their quarterback coach.
And then Rodgers pulled the Will Smith, keep my coach's name out your mouth.
You should have slapped him, too.
Yeah,
you
should have slapped him, dude.
Oh, good stuff. Hey, what else do we got for quick hits this week?
What about Trey Tucker? Like, at first I was thinking just special teams, but he's making some plays out there, you know, to really make a name for himself as one of these starting wide receivers. And I'm pretty excited about him. He's got the speed, and apparently now he's got the hands. So,
shit.
I mean, so far it's sounded good in camp, and I'm excited. You know, any of these rookies that earn a starting spot, man, that draft is a home run.
Well, you and I sat here and we graded the draft, remember, and we hated the Trey Tucker pick.
Yeah.
But he's balling out. And he's, you know, I guess as a kick returner, he's just dynamic and he's been making plays. So it's like, okay, all right, I see what you did. You know, he's going to make the team. He's going to. I mean, special teams is going to be his bread and butter. But if he is as fast as they say he is, that's great. That's great for the Raiders.
He's a great weapon to have.
Return guy.
Yeah, that goes to show you, though, obviously, when the draft comes, there's always these rankings and this and that, and a lot of times they are good, but sometimes, you know, there's those gems that just get overlooked, and it happens every year, you know, tons of them, and I hope he's one of those guys.
You know, they clowned on the Raiders when they picked him. They said he's not even the best wide receiver on his team, you know what I mean? But I think he'll be okay, you know? I mean, I'll tell you this, I don't think they're going to trade Hunter Renfrow. Doesn't look like it.
Yeah, it sounds like he's doing all right now, too, you know, and he came out and publicly was like, you know, he just wasn't his best last season, you know, and just wasn't having fun. But he knows that he's here with this team and he is a Raider. And I believe he's taking it as a professional and he's really just trying to get better as a player. And that's all you could ask. And his route running is like, it's superb. You know, as long as you start running the routes that we need him to run instead of just doing what he wants, you know, and freelancing, like it could be really, really good.
I will say this, though. I watched some footage. Again, it was shout out to Tape Don't Lie. Those dudes are incredible at what they do. You know, breaking down the picks and the film. But I was watching them, and they were showing footage of Hunter Renfrow in Gruden's offense, and he would go out for those routes and do those crazy like just juke guys out of their shoes with those crazy moves.
Yep.
And then they showed him in McDaniel's offense last year. Shake and bake is gone. He's just one step go, and it's all timing. So basically, McDaniels wants him to not do what he's good at, to just run the route, yeah, right? And win with his quickness. And that's, you know, that's a problem. But I mean, it is what it is. Like, that's how McDaniels is.
Yeah, a lot of these coaches are that. You know, it's kind of like, I like a good coach that plays to his player's strengths, and you figure out what each player's good at and you make them do that good thing, you know. But some coaches are like, this is what I need you to do this job, you know. And for sure, McDaniels is that guy. And a lot of the people that have a problem with it, they're not on the team anymore, you know. But when it comes down to it, you're professional. This is football. And if that's what the coach is calling, you need to figure it out and figure out how to do it.
It seems like everybody's like adapting more to the system this year, like overall. Like the system's kind of clicking better and everyone's kind of more adapting the system. And even Renfro's saying he's getting the system.
They got
more
Garoppolo who knows the system front and back. That's all he's done. And Carr was learning it.
But see, that's the thing. You give McDaniels his system, guys. Okay, you have your guys now. Now win. Oh, you couldn't win this year? What's the excuse then? Yeah, you only have
Carr
Jimmy
said he
Garoppolo.
Was never,
you
he
brought
didn't
the guy.
Feel comfortable. Carr said he didn't feel comfortable
wasn't
in the system.
System fit. Carr's
he
a, Carr
looked
is a,
like he didn't feel comfortable.
Yeah, Carr's a gunslinger. And, you know, he's one of those, like, I'm just going to whip the ball out, you know, to whoever I see that's open, you know, and throw picks and make bad decisions. But also, I mean, he wears number 4 for Brett Favre, and he was kind of like Brett Favre, you know? I mean, he's just hucking balls here and there. You know, there's no timing to it. It's just like...
So you think the Saints is a decline, just like when Favre went to the Jets?
Do I think that the Saints will decline? I don't know, man. I think
it's
so.
It's hard to
I
say
think,
with that division.
Yeah,
though.
That division is so, like, so buttercup. I could take the Saints to win, like, games there. Like,
I mean, is Michael Thomas even back yet?
Well, yeah, he's back. Still, well, did you see Alvin Kamara's, like, suspended for the first, like,
three? Yeah. Yeah. Like well, shit, they were talking about, like, a whole season.
What did he do again?
He's got to go to court. He's got to go to court
assault,
still.
Like, he freaking, like...
It was a guy this time.
Kicked
though.
Some fool or punched him like in a big mob, like shit. Cause his homie like got run up by them or some shit like that.
Damn. Well, whatever, dude. He had to protect his homie, dude.
He's
I'm
got
down.
A gold tooth.
Whatever, dude. Alvin Kamara's badass. Do you draft him this year? No. Or you
that's
do
you
and go
him.
Uh-oh.
Pocket him.
Yeah, that would be a good pocket for sure. You'd pick him up in like the 5th round if you can get him, dude, and be like,
yeah,
oh,
if you can get him.
Starting running back. Speaking of running backs, and bring it back to the Raiders. Yes. You know, there are reports that the Raiders want to open up talks with Josh Jacobs again. And so hopefully we can get him back sometime soon. But you know what? Josh Jacobs doesn't need training camp. He knows the plays. He knows the system. He'll show up in shape and kick ass week one. So it's like, all right, cool. Like, you know, let him sit out, dude. And then, of course, reopen talks with him. I think it was Josina Anderson that basically said that the Raiders were willing to discuss more. And obviously, if the Raiders are willing, hopefully Josh Jacobs is willing. But, you know, she was on Q's show, too, and she mentioned that she believes that, it, like, what the Giants did with Saquon, you know, offering him some incentives and a little bit more money on a shorter deal, like, Jacobs might end up just taking that. But, you know, what's funny is that the way that they treated Jacobs last year, you could tell that they didn't plan on him doing...
They wanted
doing,
to cut him. Yeah. You could tell that the whole team, they were going to cut him just like they did everyone else. They wanted to get rid of him.
That's what I'm saying.
And he came out and just... killed it.
I think that his plan was to do a running back by committee, and when Josh Jacobs just set the world on fire, he's like, well, shit, dude, I can't take this guy out now.
Yeah, I don't think McDaniel's plan came to what he wanted last season. Obviously, you know, we have a new quarterback, you know, but I think Josh Jacobs was the only thing, like, it was just kind of like a plan B, like, or just give Jacobs the ball. He keeps running it well, you know, and that's how we won his five
game
games or
broke,
six games we won
it,
last
dude.
Year.
Like,
you know?
He killed it.
Yeah, but, so... Last year, basically, McDaniels and Ziegler showed up and said, all right, here's the plan. We're going to win with Derek Carr and our receivers, Derek Carr and Devontae, and we'll have a running back by committee, right? Because our running backs are terrible, and Derek Carr is good, and Devontae's great. So that's what we're going to do. And then what happens? All right, so Derek Carr sucks.
Give Jacobs the ball.
Give Jacobs the ball. Apparently, he's badass.
The guy that we played preseason Hall of Fame game one.
Yeah. McDaniels is the king of throw another screen pass. That's throw what another screen pass. He's the king.
Well, that's his system. You know,
I don't know. For some reason, my gut was like, when I heard the contract negotiations going again, I almost felt like the Raiders want him in camp. I think he's fine without it, but I feel like for some reason or another, they were like, you know what, we need Jacobs out here too, running these plays with these guys so everybody's comfortable or something.
If Zeus has to take it over, I think he's almost like a Latavius Murray. He's going to take it over. He's just been waiting on that chance. And if Jacobs does walk or he doesn't come back, I think Zeus is the guy.
Yeah, you know, I saw him talk. He talked today, dude, and I didn't realize how big he is. Did you see how big he is? His arms are just ginormous, man. And I heard he's just big and fast.
He's got that perfect typical running back, you know, body type.
They said he's just running dudes over in camp.
And it is his chance right now. Looks good. You know, he's the number one. He's running with the ones, and it's his team, and he's going to take advantage of every opportunity. And like Matt said last week, you know, the running backs for McDaniels, the first season, they always sit. So this is his second season. And so I think McDaniels is cool seeing what he's got too, you know, and having him as, you know, as that maybe Jacobs replacement.
You know, you also hear out of camp that, you know, the Raiders' offensive line has been fairly consistent all camp. Colton Miller, Dylan Parham, Andre James, and... Unfortunately, Alex Bars is still entrenched as a starter, but I heard that Van Routen guy that they brought in, that veteran, is giving him a run for his money. That right tackle position seems to be the only – actually, the right guard and right tackle position seem to be the ones that are a little bit in flux. You know, Alex Bars trying to win back his starting position at right guard, but at right tackle, you have Jermaine Illuminor and Brandon Parker and Thayer Munford going for that right tackle position, and it seems so far that Jermaine Illuminor is just kind of falling by the wayside.
Yeah, he's losing his position.
Yeah, and that Thayer Munford is stepping up. But the thing is, if you look at the size of those two guys, Thayer Munford is quite a bit bigger than Illuminor is. And McDaniels likes big tackles. Colton Miller's a big tackle. Thayer Munford is a big tackle. And I guess that's why he's winning the position. But you know what? They can slide Illuminor to right guard. The problem with Illuminor is I think he's kind of mentally fragile also, like Carr, because Q was mentioning that at practice when Thayer Munford took a spot, like he saw Illuminor off on the side by himself. He wasn't talking to anybody. You know, he was kind of pouting and kind of being a little bitch about losing his spot. So it's like,
he's a Harry Potter fan, though.
And he was tweeting all offseason that he and Colton Miller are going to be the best tackles in the league. It's like, man, homie, you ain't even starting, bruh. Like, you ain't going to be the best nothing. You're going to be the best bench sitter this year.
That's why Max Crosby worked for it every year, hard every year, went harder every year, and got better every year, you know? If you lose it, you lose it, dude. You didn't work hard enough.
Like, there's a difference between being naturally talented and not trying, not having natural talent, but trying your hardest. You know what I mean? Like, perfect example is, like, I don't know why I thought of this, but, like, in Naruto, right?
That's where we're going right now?
Is it Brock Lee? He had no powers, dude. He just tried really hard, but he never did nothing, dude. Like, you could be a tryhard all you want to. You have to have some innate ability, some talent. Max Crosby's got that. And he tries hard. That's the best.
That's right? What makes a great player versus a good player. Yeah, you know, it does come down to a natural talent that just the game flows for you.
Yeah.
That's just what you like, you know how to do.
You got to have like an internal talent, right? Like a magical like nine-tailed fox that's inside of you, right? And you also gotta want it. You know, you gotta believe that you got that power, right? You gotta believe that you're gonna be great, and you gotta work for it like Naruto did.
Well, I mean,
wow. So, is there anything else that we have to talk about this week?
That's pretty much the list. Now we just gotta get down with defense.
All right, cool. Well, we kind of talked about the defense the entire time, dude. There's really not much to talk about. That's kind of what we talked about for the entire episode.
We went too far.
We could talk about special teams.
Yeah.
All right, so, I mean, as far as the special teams are concerned, I mean...
We got a great special teams, I'd say.
Daniel Carlson for life.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Daniel Carlson, man. And
A.J. Cole.
A.J. Cole, dude. I would rather have Daniel Carlson and A.J. Cole than any other, like, kicker punter in the league, dude.
Another Janikowski, Leckler.
He's great.
I love when A.J. Cole's got a microphone in front of him, because it's like, anything goes.
Oh, dude, he doesn't care, man. He's got... And the thing is, he's got personality, like... who's that other kicker we had?
Marquette King.
Yeah, Marquette King, who had personality, but like he was a clown.
Yeah.
Like AJ Cole is actually funny.
Yeah. He's somebody I would like to hang out with, you know, and have a couple beers with. He seems like a really good guy.
Yeah, hey, do you get an AJ Cole jersey?
Yeah, just because.
Just because, like the punter's jersey, dude.
You know what? Hey, AJ Cole, we want to get you on this podcast, you know, get back at us.
Yeah, that would be the best. Hey, yeah, AJ Cole, hit us up. It would be cool to talk to you.
Down with the ship, right?
Or Daniel Carlson, dude, I'd be down.
Yeah, we'll take this clutch.
Hey, who gave Daniel Carlson up? The Bears
it was the Vikings.
The Vikings, dude.
So his first game, he shanked 3 kicks, so they cut him. And then on the Raiders, he had a decent season, and then he had kind of a bad second season. But then the third season, he kicked ass. Yeah. Like, he was so reliable.
He was consecutive for, like, what, like almost 10 games or something like that? Yep.
That Vikings coach, like, came out and was like, it's the biggest regret of my life.
No, it wasn't the coach. It was the general manager. He was like, oh, man.
Biggest regret of my life.
Yeah, they asked the old Vikings general manager, the guy that drafted Daniel Carlson, what's your biggest regret as a GM? And he's like, giving up Carlson? That was so dumb. Like, they drafted him, and then they cut him after one game. It's ridiculous, dude. That's an emotional decision that you made without thinking, right? You got to lock in.
But I tell you what, I mean, if it was on our team and we had a new kicker and like the start of the season, he's just missing field goals, I'd be yelling at the TV, get rid of him.
Yeah, no.
You know, straight up. But I mean, that's just me on the
couch.
You
got one job.
Yeah, that's being a couch coach. You know what I mean? We could be a little more like, you know, drastic.
Yeah, for sure. So obviously special teams are good. You know, do we think that that Trey Tucker is going to be the return man this year? Probably.
Yeah, I mean, I already heard Hunter Renfro's giving him points, and Danny Amendola is back there giving him, you know, points because he's over here coaching with us now.
Yeah.
You got two of the best to do it. You know, I loved Hunter back there, but it was always like, don't hit him.
Yeah.
You know, but he knows what to do. You know, it's an important position, so I'm really excited for Trey Tucker.
Yeah, really good call on not having Hunter back there anymore. Hopefully they continue with that. So special teams are in good hands. Defense sounds like it's
looking
doing good.
Yeah,
it's looking good. Next week will be the test when the 49ers come in and the Raiders have joint practices with them next
August
week.
August 14th is the first preseason game.
It's against the Niners, right?
Yep.
Yeah, and so they're actually practicing with them next week. It'll be interesting to see the Raiders' offense versus their defense. You know, whether or not we can score on them, and also, you know, because you remember last year. And
vice versa. Dude, I mean, Garoppolo.
Yeah. In Jaime G, we believe.
Yeah, hey, remember last year that we almost beat the Niners? The second to last game of the season?
Oh, yeah, and they were on a roll,
they
too.
Were on
and they
a
had
roll.
The best defense, and and it was freaking, what's his name? That's at the Broncos now, our backup quarterback.
Jared Stidham.
It was
dude.
Jared Stidham that carved him up, dude.
It wasn't Jimmy G, right? It was Brock, or is it Brock Purdy?
It was Purdy.
Brock Purdy.
Brock Purdy.
Purdy.
Yeah. With the starting position now.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, the thing about those joint practices, they're doing a joint practice, right?
Yep.
Those are always better than the preseason games. You know, they kind of let the players are really out there just like really giving it to each other. And it's the first time you're hitting somebody that's not your own team. So you could lay into them. A lot of times the fights happen in those you know, those scrimmages or whatever. So I'm a little more excited to see what happens in those joint practices than even the preseason game. Because you're going to see starters on starters going at it.
Yep.
You know, and so there'll definitely be a lot to report.
Yeah, so definitely we'll do our best to keep our ears to the wire and, you know, report on whatever the news is and, you know, discuss it on the podcast. But we're getting closer and closer to actual Raiders football. And so far, so good. Let's hope this week that Jimmy G can stop throwing interceptions. And let's hope that the defense continues to still ball out. I guess, can you have both of those things? I guess you can, huh?
I don't think so, you know. But, hey, defenses win football games, so I don't know.
You can. 17-0. 17-0.
Yeah, Vato Vince says 17-0, huh?
All day.
All day. This has been another successful episode, I would say. We'll try to be more consistent, Raider Nation, with our episodes. You know, hopefully the technical issues are behind us. But we want to thank you again for tuning in and listening to this week's episode. We also want to thank our two special guests, Vato Vince and Anarchy Marky.
Thank you, guys.
Really, the point is to just sit around and discuss the team that we all know and love. I mean, we all could talk about the Raiders for hours and hours, and we often do. You guys only get to hear a little bit of the conversation because, again, we could just continue and continue and continue.
Just absorbing Raiders news all week long and just waiting to spew it out.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And that's what we'll do this week, and we'll be back next week to talk about all the things that we heard from camp and what happened with the 49ers and how the Raiders did and what our chances are. And, you know, hopefully it's all good. All right. This has been Matty Mayhem with Sean Carnage and our guests. And I want to thank you guys. We'll see you next week. Stay golden, Pony Boy.
Peace out.
Later.